I know that you'll be blessed. This poem is called Frittering Your Life Away. My brother and I went fishing. It was a real nice day last May. We were trolling the reservoir when a big one hit. It was one of those big ones that got away. We stopped for a coffee, and my brother leaned back, and he said in his matter-of-fact way, he said, you know, anytime we're not fishing, we're just frittering our life away. Well, it got me to thinking about all of the things that we do to help fill out our day, like working hard and holding down two jobs so all the bills we can pay, caring for the kids and helping the wife and even letting her mama come home to stay. And you know, I think my brother's right. Anytime you're not fishing, you're just frittering your life away. You can go to college, become a lawyer, and join the NRA. You could run for office and be a politician so we can all get better pay. You can help the guild and the ladies' aid and even attend the PTA. But anytime you're not fishing, you're just frittering your life away. Now, don't look at me so holy. Hear me out. But what is that you say? How about going to church and paying your tithes and spending some time in prayer each day, or listening to all the TV preachers and sending them an offering their expenses to defray? Well, hold on a minute, and I still declare to you, anytime you're not fishing, you're just frittering your life away. You see, Jesus got into Peter's boat, and Luke's gospel tells it sort of this way. The crowd was so big out from the shore, he had to be pushed away. And when he got done teaching all of those people, the disciples sort of heard him say, boys, let down your net for a great big catch. Because anytime you're not fishing, you're frittering your life away. Now you can give yourself to doctrine, studying all the latest theologies of the day. You can worry and fret about the music and making sure we worship in just the right way. But I say get yourself an old fisher's net and work while it's still day, because anytime you're not fishing, you're just frittering your life away. Jesus said, come unto me all you that are weary, and on me your burdens you can lay. Don't be so worried about all of the problems in the church and how it's in such great disarray. And enter into his rest and be a good witness. And take it from an old reformed type A. Anytime you're not fishing, you're spritting your life away. Jesus called to Peter one day on Galilee. Lay down your net and come and follow me. Fishers of men, I'll make you, just you who wait and see. But you must lay down your net, take up your cross, and follow me. I'm gonna hang my net upon a cross. All I have in this whole world, counting it a loss, I'm gonna follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. I'm gonna hang my net upon an old rugged cross. Excuse me, I gotta get that frog away so I can sing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The eyes of the Lord are searching through the earth today to lay himself strong to those who his word obey. Fishers of men, I'll make you, just you who wait and see. But you must lay down your net, take up your cross, and follow me. Gonna hang my net upon a cross. All I have in this whole world, counting it a loss. Gonna follow Jesus, no matter what the cost. I'm gonna hang my net upon an old rugged cross. thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to be a part of what you're doing in this time and day in our lives. Lord, we know that you have a great plan for this church, for all of the people that are here, Lord. I lift them up to you, Lord, and I know that they're going through their own various problems and situations. But, Lord, you are God over every situation. You have called us to stand up and declare that you are the great Lord of glory. And we give you all of the praise and all of the honor. Lord, we lay our crowns at your feet. And we just cry out to you this morning, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are worthy of all of the praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel in my heart there's someone here. You've come this morning and you've been pretty discouraged. And in your life you've had to face a lot of situations and it's been difficult and it's been hard. But I want you to know that if you will just continue on, you will see the victory. You will see the victory because God is able even when we're not able. I want to sing this next song for you, and I believe it's for someone special. When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and we fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. We press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, you can press on. And even when you've spent your last dollar, and when your body is tired and you feel like giving up, you can press on in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we press on. In Jesus' name, we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
If Cal and also Justin, you come up here. We want to hand their, this is a little manual that she's going to be teaching from. And so one per family, okay? And here you go, Cal. Here's some, two. One per family. And if you're not planning on coming back, we encourage you to turn it in, you know, but hand out one per family. Okay, our one individual, and we want you to have this. This is her study, and I appreciate that you have put this together for us, and so we want you to have that, and God bless you richly. And then you can.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I'm really glad to be here. Some of you have seen my table out front. And I'm one of those people that can't sit still. I don't sit still. I don't like to sit still. Drives my family crazy. So anyways, when I write my books, it makes my brain tired, and so then I make jewelry and I create things. So I got all that jewelry out there, and it's just for a donation. I don't put a price on it because I'm not in a business, I'm in a blessing. I'm just not a businesswoman, and it's just not part of me. So feel free to, I take everything from checks to chocolate chip cookies. It doesn't matter. I got a credit card reader. I can help you with it all. I got these really cool ties. I traveled so many years with my dad, and you know, some people talk about the mantle that Elisha got from Elijah. Well, I got my dad's ties. I didn't get the mantle, but I got the ties. Anyways, I make these ties, and I put them together, and ladies, you can wear them as a scarf. I have some snaps on them, but actually, I like to pin them where I want them, because every time I wear them, it's with a different outfit. So I just pin it where I want it and tie it and wrap it around. So these ties are out there. And my books, the ties and the books are $10, but the rest of the stuff is just for an offering. And I'm just so grateful that you could be here, and I want to bless you. And I'm very excited about what God is doing here. And I feel like I have, as I was preparing to share this morning, I want to just share a story that does not go with my teaching, just because I believe it's relevant for your church right now. And it may be a story that some of you have heard. Oh, I'm dropping all my Kleenexes, aren't I? I have lots of them. I've shared this story, and it's part of a different message. But Pastor Mel, I want to tell you a story about my son, because I believe it's relevant for you for this church. And if I've shared this story, please forgive me. But for some of you, maybe it will be brand new. My son went to Bible school. He was a very intelligent young man, and at 16 years old, he had his own business. He was developing integrated computers and computer systems. And so when he went to Bible school, he went to Elam. While he was up at Elam, he got the job of being the systems administrator for a whole internet company in Rochester. And so he was making a lot of money, and I can remember praying and saying, God, don't let my son have more money than is good for him, because too much money as a young man can really spoil your life. And so I was really praying and asking the Lord that my son would learn to hear God's voice. And I told him when he went to Bible school, I said, honey, you're going to hear all kinds of theologies and doctrines at Bible school, but what I want you to learn more than anything is to hear the Word of God and hear God's voice. And so one day I called him up and I said, honey, what are you doing? And he said, I'm at Starbucks. And I said, you're at Starbucks. What are you doing at Starbucks? You all know Starbucks, yes? And you know how expensive Starbucks is? I mean, you can go in there and you can slap down about $10 for two cups of coffee. And I was thinking, my goodness, we're missionaries and he's spending money at Starbucks? I said, how often do you go to Starbucks? He said, oh, two or three times a week. I said, you go to Starbucks two or three times a week? And he said, yes, I go two or three times a week, and I bring all my friends. I said, how many is all your friends? He said, oh, I don't know, 10 or 15. There's all these guys at Bible school. They don't have any money. They can't afford to do fun things. And so I bring them to Starbucks to bless them. I said, you can't do that. And I was calculating in my mind how much money he's spending. And I'm thinking, he's spending more money at Starbucks than my husband and I had to live on in Africa. I said, you can't do that. This is not a good idea. Why are you doing this? And he said, because God told me to. So I said the only thing I knew to say. I said, I don't believe you. I said, I don't believe God told you to do that at all. I don't think this is the Word of God, and I don't think this is a good thing for you to do. And he said, well, Mom, God told me to do this, and so this is what I'm doing. And then he said, Mom, you're going to have to pray about this. I said, okay. A couple weeks later, I called him, and I said, okay, the Word of God says if you sow in the kingdom of God, you reap a harvest in the kingdom of God, a harvest that is pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So I'm going to look at your life, and if God doesn't bless you, then God didn't speak to you. He called me up He said, Mom, the most amazing thing is happening in my life. I get free coffee at Starbucks. I said, what? You get free coffee? How many of you have ever gotten free coffee at Starbucks? You just walk in and you get free coffee? He says, yeah, I just walk in and they give me a cup of free coffee. I said, okay, well, maybe this is God. So I said, okay, and he called me a few weeks later. He said, Mom, every time I go, no matter what Starbucks I go to, I get free coffee. I said, well, that's amazing, because God said that when you sow in the kingdom of God, you reap a harvest in the kingdom of God, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This went on until he graduated from Elam and went to the university in Virginia. So I called him up one day. I was preaching in New Hampshire, and he said to me, Mom, what are you going to preach on today? And I said, I'm going to preach on the law of sowing and reaping, and I'm going to use you as an example. And you know how sometimes you can hear someone go, on the phone? And he did that, and he went, he said, Mom, I haven't gotten free coffee in a long time, and I got really angry. I got so upset. And I started yelling at him, and I am probably the most cool and calm-headed person you will ever meet. I don't get angry about things. I don't get flustered about things, but I was so mad. And I yelled in the phone. I said, what is wrong with you? Why aren't you getting free coffee? He said, Mom, they don't know me here in Virginia. I said, I don't care. God knows you. He said, it wasn't Starbucks that gave you the coffee. It was God, and God knows you. And I said, you have messed up your blessing. You've ruined your blessing. I want to know what's wrong with you. Why did you do this? And he's like, Mom, I can't just walk into Starbucks and tell them give me free coffee because my mom said so. I was so upset. I can't remember when I was ever this upset. I was so upset. And he said, Mom, you're just going to have to calm down. I said, okay. I hung up the phone. I was so frustrated. Well, he called me later that night, and he said, Mom, what did you do? And I said, what do you mean, what did I do? And he said, well, I was in Starbucks when I was talking to you on the phone. And I went up to the counter to get a cup of coffee, and the girl said, this cup is free. So he sat down at the table, and he was pondering our conversation, and the manager of the store came and sat by him and said to him, you look like a young man who likes to drink coffee. And I just got some new coffee beans that are really expensive, and I wanted to make a new pot. Would you drink it with me and tell me what you think? My son said, yeah. And the man said, before you drink the new coffee, why don't you get a sandwich and a pastry out of the cooler and have some of the goodies so that you get the taste of the old coffee out of your mouth so you can drink the new coffee? So he's eating pastries and sandwiches, and the man brings the coffee pot, and they drank five more cups of coffee, which made six cups of Starbucks coffee. And my son said, my heart was going like this. And when they got all done, the man said, you have been so good to sit and talk with me. Why don't you take 2 pounds of beans with you as my blessing home? He said, Mom, what did you do? I said, I didn't do anything. I just told you that when you sow in the kingdom of God, you reap a harvest in the kingdom of God. And you were losing your blessing. I want to encourage you. You guys have sown for so many years. You have sown, and you have sown, and you have sown, and you have sown. And it's time for the harvest to come. It's time. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking up offerings. We got to do that. But when was the last time you had the heap? When you mentioned the heap, I'm thinking, I got to tell you guys this. There's a heap, and God wants to put a heap here, but until you guys get the heaps in your house, you can't put the heaps here. And I'm telling you, don't give up on your harvest. God has a harvest for you. A few cups of coffee were not my son's harvest, and I was not satisfied. He called me up later, a few weeks later. He said, Mom, it's the strangest thing. I can go into Hampton Roads. I can go to Norfolk. I can go to Virginia Beach. I can be anywhere, and they give me free coffee when I walk into Starbucks. I said, I told you. You were messing up your harvest, and you weren't believing for it. And I told you, when you sow in the kingdom of God, you reap a harvest in the kingdom of God, one that's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I said, I want your coffee cup running over. He said, I went into the coffee shop yesterday, and I tried to give them the money, and they said, oh, we don't have change, so we'll just give it to you. So today I went in, And I took the exact amount of change, and the girl said, oh, we don't need your money. It's only coffee. And he said, it's the only thing you sell. He said, they won't take my money. He called me up, and he said, Mom, would you pray for me, Mom? I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. I said, what's wrong? And he said, Mom, I'm lonely, and I would really like to have a wife. When I was at Elam, all my friends got wives. Now I'm down at Regent University, and all my friends are getting wives. And I'm really lonely. Would you pray with me? And I said, yes, I would. And this went on for several weeks. And he'd say, Mom, are you praying for me? And I said, yes. And I said, you go to Regent University, and you live in Virginia Beach, and you go to a church with 1,500 people, and there's Christian girls everywhere. Seems like you should be able to find a Christian girl somewhere. And he said to me, but Mom, I talked to my pastor, and my pastor always tells me these girls aren't right for me. I was pondering all this, and I said, really? And he said, yeah. I talk to her every week. I said, her? Your pastor's a man. What are you talking about, her? Her? Now I got mom ears. Her. Who's her? Well, she's the worship pastor in the church. And I said, the worship pastor? Yes. I said, how do you know her? And he said, well, she leads the worship. I play the drums. And I said, and she knows who's right for you and who isn't right for you? He said, yes. I said, what's her name? Her name's Pastor Tina. I said, how do you know Pastor Tina? Tell me a little more about how you know Pastor Tina. He said, well, Mom, you see, we lead the worship for the service, and we get there early, 6 o'clock, set up practice, do the worship, wait, do the next service, sing for an hour, and in the middle of the preaching of the second message, I run to Starbucks, and I get her a cup of coffee because I know that she's very thirsty, and I said, you marry Pastor Tina. He said, I can't marry Pastor Tina. I said, why not? You get her coffee, and you're in a blessing with God. You go to Starbucks, you buy her coffee. God's promised you a blessing from Starbucks. You marry her. He said, I can't marry her. I said, why not? Is she married? No. Has she ever been married? No. I said, is she pretty? Well, yeah, she's the most beautiful girl in the whole church. I said, I'm telling you right now, marry Pastor Tina. He said, Mom, it doesn't work that way. I said, it does for you. I said, I want you to take her to Starbucks, and you sit down in Starbucks, and you tell her you want to marry her. And he said, Mom, I can't do that. I said, I'm your mother, and I'm telling you right now, you get yourself to Starbucks, you take her, and you tell her you want to marry her. So he took her to Starbucks, and he said, Pastor Tina, he told me he was shaken. He was just shaken. He said, Pastor Tina, I think I like you for more than just a friend. She said, you don't know how long I've been waiting to hear you say that. 10 months later, they were married. They got 3 coffee makers, an espresso maker, 72 coffee cups, and $350 of Starbucks gift certificates. 10 years later, she's the pastor of that big church. She's not just the worship pastor. My son's a lawyer. He called me up about, a month ago, and he said, Mom, I just want to tell you something because you need to know this. He said, I don't need Starbucks to give me free coffee because I'm a lawyer and I make good money and I don't need someone to buy me coffee. But he said, I still get free coffee when I go to Starbucks. That's the blessing. And the devil wants us to think that we've already received, that you have sown and you have sown and you have sown, and you have sacrificed when other people haven't sacrificed, and you have laid your life down, and you have invested in the kingdom of God, and it's time for that harvest to come back. And what you received in the past, all the blessings you received in the past, they are not even on the level of what God wants to do with you now. Because those things were small, but the investment has been great. And the part that we receive as a harvest is so much more than what we invested. And I believe this is your time. It's time. God's going to bring the people from the north and the south, the east and the west, and the nations are going to come here. And the places that are empty here today are going to be filled because of the investment you already made. asking anybody to put money in the offering today. I'm telling you, you already did it. You've already done it. And the harvest is here. I tell you, folks, this is your blessing. You people here, you've been here through thick and thin. And you've seen Sundays come and go. And you've seen people come and go. But I'm telling you today, you're going to receive that which you have sown for. And the days that you spent praying on your knees, the days that you spent crying out before God, you're going to receive that harvest. And your kids are going to come back to church with you. And your grandchildren are going to come back to church with you. And your neighbors are going to follow you here. And they're going to say, I want what you got. I want what you got. I'm telling you, folks, you are right on the edge, so don't give up. Don't give up. The devil will tell every one of you that you don't belong here and that you should go away. I'll tell you, I was a young pastor's wife, and when I was in the church, I had a strange week. A lady came to me, and she says, Sister Debbie, I'm leaving the church. I'm the only widow in the church, and nobody understands me. The next day, lady came to me and she said, Sister Debbie, I'm leaving the church because I'm the only woman with no children and nobody understands me. The next day, a person came to me in the church and she said, I'm leaving the church because my husband's an alcoholic and nobody understands me. I went to my husband. I said, I'm leaving the church. And he said, why? And I said, because I'm the only pastor's wife in this church and nobody understands me. The devil will tell every single one of you, you don't belong here, but I'm telling you today, this is where you belong. This is where you have invested. This is where you have sown. And God is going to give you a harvest that you cannot contain. And the things that you have believed God for, they're going to come to pass. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I took up a little bit of my teaching time, but. They tell me in Africa, they say, oh, Mom Debbie, you preach like a man. I said, really? What does that mean? But I love being in Africa. My husband and I have been missionaries to Africa and to the Philippines. And I have absolutely loved my walk with the Lord. Like I said at the piano, I ministered with my dad for 50 years. I started when I was 9 years old. He and I would travel everywhere together. Even when my son was a baby, I'd leave my husband with my son, and off I'd go with my daddy. And he and I were the team. And he's passed away, but I'm telling you right now, the things that he has sown in the kingdom are coming to pass. And the things that he sowed and the prayers that he prayed and the investment that he made are just as alive today as they were the moment that he did them. And I can't get away from this. Pastor Mel, there's people that have sown in this church for so long and they've died and they've gone to heaven, but their reward is still here. The wells are deep. The wells are deep. I'm telling you, folks, there's something here. And it doesn't die when people go to heaven. It's still here. And the prayers are still all around this place. And I can hear the prayers from heaven echoing all through the ages. I want to tell you, folks, don't give up. Don't give up. First Peter's a book about hope. It's about hope. We have hope in God. I'm so excited. So excited. Verse 1 in 1 Peter, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. You know what? Peter knew who he was. He said, I'm an apostle, and he wasn't ashamed of it. He knew who he was. He was an apostle. Well, you know, he started out as a fisherman. And I think it's interesting. In the book of John, when Jesus was restoring Peter, he didn't call him Peter. He called him Simeon Peter. Some people say Simon. It was Simeon Peter. when I looked at that and I think about Peter and who he was and the man that he became, you know, Peter means stone, and I couldn't help but think, because Simeon means the one who hears. And I thought it was so interesting that Jesus called him Simeon Peter and not just Peter. Because Peter was the rock, and when I think about Bible characters, I like to imagine what they were like and imagine them in my life and sitting down and having coffee with them and looking at them and hearing them speak. And I think about Peter, he was the rock, and he was also a hard head. And he went from being the hard head to the hearing one. From the hard head to the hearing one. And he became the man who could hear God's voice. And Jesus said, you're the hearing one. You hear my voice. And Peter says in 1 Peter, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? You know, in the second chapter of Peter, Peter calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. He knew who he was. And he's declaring that to all the people that read his letters. You have significance in the kingdom of God. It's not just a formality that Peter calls himself an apostle. He's declaring to the people who read his letters, this is who I am. He's affirming his standing. He was one of the 12. He spoke to Christ. And he didn't make himself the greatest of all the disciples, but he counted himself as equal with them and as one with the rest. I was a disciple of Christ. I'm an apostle. And he wrote this letter to people all across the known world, to the Jews that were dispersed in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and all these churches and places. Places where the Apostle Paul went. It was interesting. You don't hear an awful lot about Peter and Paul together because they didn't do things together. But here we see Peter following in Paul's footsteps. And we see them establishing churches throughout Asia. I had the opportunity to go to North Africa several years ago. And I was in Tunisia. And some of those places are where the early church fathers went. Some of the early churches. And Peter was one of those people. He's a significant disciple. Then in verse 2, we could go on and on, but I'm going to move along. Verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. This verse speaks to me that salvation is a calling. We were called into salvation. We weren't just someone who happened to say a sinner's prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit drew us all in. And how can we be part of the family of God if the Holy Spirit doesn't draw us? We've been called. You've been called. This is a chosen place where you stand in the kingdom of God as a chosen one of God, chosen to be here for this very moment. Not for a day in the future. Listen, we don't need a lot of stuff when we get to heaven. We need God's power right now. It's not good enough to say the power of God is going to happen when I get to heaven. Oh, when I get to heaven in the sweet by and by, listen folks, that's not where we need it. We'll have it then, we need it now. I need the power of God now. I need the authority of God now. You need the power of God. You need the authority of God. You need what Peter had. Peter said we were called. We were called. We were chosen. God thought about us in the future. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2 it says that before the beginning of time, God made the covenant of eternal life. That means that before God created the heavens and the earth and the animals and the trees and the fish and the sea, God looked all the way across into all of eternity and saw you and you and you and you and you. It was the first thing he did was figure out how to bring you into his family. That was the first thing that was on his mind. It was the first thing. He chose you. He chose you. difference what you look like today because God already chose you and He knew what you would be like. We were called and chosen by the foreknowledge of God. And we've been allowed to come into this work of sanctification. You know, sanctification isn't something you do, it's something you get. We've been sanctified by the blood of Christ. You know, you can't get good enough to be born again. You can't become good enough to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't get good enough to be sanctified. It's not something we do, it's something we get. It's part of the promise. Hallelujah. We were chosen, we were destined, and we were sanctified. Wow. And we were adopted into the family of God. We were brought in. You know, adoption is a choice. I have this girl, my daughter. I found her one day in Africa. God spoke to me and told me to take her, make her my daughter. I hadn't even seen her. I didn't know her name. I didn't know what she looked like. But I knew that her mother had passed away, and God spoke to me in an audible voice, woke me up in the night and told me to take her as my daughter. I told my husband. We went to the pastor, and we said to the pastor, you know, the widow that died, she's got a little girl, right? Yeah. Well, God told me to do something for the little girl. And the pastor's wife began to cry, and she said, you know, that little girl, her brothers and sisters have all been spoken for, but nobody wants the little girl. And she needs a mother so bad. And I said, well, God told me to take her. I hadn't seen her. I didn't know what her name was. I didn't know if she was sick or well or cute or plain or any. I didn't know. I didn't know anything. I just took her. And I brought her into my family, and we adopted her, and we did all the paperwork, and we did everything so that she was mine. Well, I discovered something. You see, I'd raised an only son. He was already grown and out of the house. So, you know, I only raise only children. Because my son was an only son, and my daughter's an only daughter, and they were only in the house all by themselves. So I raise only children. So I got this daughter, and she takes my stuff. She's always taking my stuff. She takes my hairbrush, and she takes my pins and my jewelry and my shoes. She's always taking my stuff. And I said to her one day, I said, why do you take my stuff? Your brother never took my stuff. She said, Mom, I want to explain something to you. I said, all right. She said, when you adopted me, everything you have became mine. When God adopted us, everything He has became ours. Everything He has became ours. This is adoption through the blood of Jesus Christ. This is our position. This is who we are. Peter is stating that we have been brought into the family of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is our standing. This is who we are. This is what God has for us. And He expects us to believe it. This is who we are. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. We don't have a dead hope. You know, hope. People don't understand hope. They think it's less than faith. Well, I hope something will happen. No, we have a living hope. Hope is powerful. It's living. It's alive. And it's working in our lives. We have a living hope, something that comes into our spirit, and we make that life exchange with the Lord Jesus Christ, and He enters into us, and we enter. And at that point, it becomes a living hope. And He's alive. in you, in you, in you, in you, and He's alive in me. And we are no longer who we used to be. Because we made this life exchange with Him. And we are now born again. We have come into this whole new kind of living. We're made alive. We were dead in our sins, and now we are alive in a living hope. Wow. Wow. It's a living hope. This is exciting. Because this is what the world needs. It doesn't need a dead religion. People don't like Christians. They don't. I travel all over the world. People don't like Christians. Because so many Christians live like the only hope they have is someday in heaven. We have a living hope. It's alive in us today, this morning, in this place. It's alive in you. And that hope is alive in you. And that hope is alive in you. And God is doing something significant on this earth. And He's looking for willing vessels who will say, Lord, use me. We've all been called to be missionaries, not all to Africa, but we've all been called. Maybe some of you have been called to Elizabethtown, Lancaster County, Harrisburg. I don't care where you've been called, but God has called you because He's put a living hope inside of you. And you're like a lighthouse with a beacon that shines out into the lives of other people. And you have a message to give other people. And God wants you to be alive. We're not dead inside. We're not dead inside. We're alive. Too many Christians are like lighthouses with their light broken. They stand on the edge of the shore and say, well, I've got a message for you, but nobody's coming because they're afraid. Because if they get too close to a lighthouse without a light, they'll crash on the rocks and they know there's no hope. But we're a lighthouse with a light that works. We have a living hope. Brothers and sisters, I have a living hope. If there's one thing I learned from my papa, and that is, we have a living hope. When I was a little girl, every morning, my dad would come to my bedroom. My sister and I shared a room. I have a sister who's 13 months younger than I am. My dad would come to our bedroom. He'd flick the light switch on, throw the door open, and he'd say, rise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. That's how we woke up every day. I tried that on my husband when I got married. It didn't work. But my dad spoke that into my life. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The glory of the living God has risen upon you. There is a living God that lives inside of you. You made a life exchange. So you are dead, but He's alive, and you live in Him, and He lives in you. And you live in God's house, and God comes and lives in our house. And so the problems we go through every day, the situations that we go through, they're not ours. Because we don't live in this house anymore. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I have a living hope. You have a living hope. It's exciting being a Christian. Because we've got the truth. We got the life. There's something happening in the world and people need to know what it is. And it's Jesus. We can be so upset about the political climate. We can be so upset about wars and rumors of wars. But I'll tell you something. Jesus said, you know, you'll hear about that. But the end isn't yet. Because we're still giving the message. It's a moment of hope. This is a moment of the message. I had some Jehovah Witnesses come to my house not too long ago, knocked on the door, and they said, are you afraid of all of this, you know, the wars that might come? We've got all these problems all around the world. And I said, goodness, no, I'm not afraid. I'm so excited because Jesus said they would come. This is just a sign of what God's doing. Just a sign. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'll tell you, my dad taught me that I don't have to be afraid. Peter was not afraid. And I'm not afraid because I have a living hope. You have a living hope. verse 4, and we come into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, never fade, and it's kept in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that will be there forever. Wow. You know, when we think about inheritances, we think about lots of money, land, possessions, but we have an inheritance that is so much greater. So much greater. My daddy didn't have money. I'll tell you, he gave everything away that he could give away. For Father's Day and birthdays, he'd say, oh, just put some money in the orphanage in my name. That was the kind of man he was. He was laying up treasures in heaven. Every day we have the opportunity to lay up treasures in heaven. Every day we have the opportunity to call forth an inheritance that we will receive when we get to heaven. There is a great day coming. And you don't see it today, but I'll tell you, it's there. And I believe it with all of my heart. And there's a place for each and every one of us that God has already prepared. And when we get there, we're going to see the things that we have sown come to life. There's power in our lives today. There's power in your life. And Peter knew that. You know, he was a fisherman. All he ever did his whole life was catch fish and kill them. Really? He caught fish and he killed them and sold them for food and with his livelihood. But Jesus said, now you'll fish for men and you'll give them life. You'll give them life. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to live for Jesus. You have an opportunity to allow that living God to come forth in your life. You have an opportunity to become that beacon of hope for the people that live near and around you. You have the opportunity to speak into the lives of your children and your grandchildren. And as I stand here this morning, I really believe that there are children that are supposed to be here. Your kids are supposed to be here. Your grandchildren are supposed to be here. There's an inheritance for you that's supposed to be here. And the enemy has stolen them out of your hand, but you have the authority to call them back. You have the authority to call them back. And I want to stand with you this morning and declare with you this morning that they're going to come back. They're going to come back. And they're going to be excited about serving Jesus. They're not going to be excited about dead religion. They're going to be excited about a living hope. This is what we've got. This is our inheritance. And our kids need to see it. I'll tell you, I'm not satisfied until they all come back. I'm not satisfied. I've got cousins that should be in church and they know better. And I'm not satisfied till they get back. You guys have kids. You got nieces and nephews and grandchildren and sons and daughters, and they belong right here. Calling forth the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not far away, that you can't obtain it, but it's right here inside of you. The kingdom of God is right here. And I'm a kingdom believer. And I make no apology for it. I believe in the kingdom of God. That's why Jesus came. And I'm a kingdom believer, and I call forth the kingdom of God in this church. I call forth the kingdom of God in your life. I call forth the kingdom of God in your finances and in your health and in your body and in your kids. And I won't quit until we see it. God showed me something just a little while ago. You know, we've seen a lot of big revivals. America's had some big revivals. And the big mega churches have had their season. But it's our turn. It's the little churches in the little communities and in the little tucked away places. It's our turn. It's our turn. It's our turn. I tell you folks, it's our turn. And the kingdom of God is coming to us. The kingdom of God is coming to us. And you know what? When we all band together, we're just as good as a mega church. We got it all. We might not have the people yet, but they're coming. They're coming. And you're going to touch so many more people. You know, all these years that you have been in ministry, Pastor Mel and Pastor Luke, you guys have sown for so long in this church, but what's coming is nothing compared to what you've sown. It's so much bigger. You're going to see your dreams come true, and you're going to see the people come in, and I believe you're going to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it because it's real. This is reality. I want to bless you today. I've run out of time, and I haven't gotten very far. But we'll keep going. But I want you to be encouraged. Oh, please, dear brothers and sisters, be encouraged today. You have a living hope. You have a living hope. And it's exciting being a Christian. It's exciting serving Jesus. And I'm so blessed to be here with you for these next few days. And I want to pray with you. Father God, I lift each one up to you. Father, even as they sit here today, some of them, Lord, I just see they've sown in your kingdom so many times. They've invested in you. They poured out their life. They poured out their finances. They've been on their knees and they cried out for a blessing. Lord, they've cried out for their family and they believed you for the impossible. And Lord, you've done a few things. And Lord, I'm grateful for the things that you have done. But Lord, I believe that you have greater things to come. You have greater things to come. This is just the beginning. And you're about to pour out your Holy Spirit upon this place. And the things that you've done in the past are only going to be a distant memory of what you're about to do right now. They are only a distant memory of what you're about to do right now, for you're about to pour out your Holy Spirit. And I declare over this place an open heaven. I call forth an open heaven where the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes in a fresh and a new way. And there's a new anointing to come. Brother, you're going to be leading people into a whole new realm of worship. And God is about to give you some songs that are going to be messages to speak to different generations. And you're going to cross the generational lines. And God is going to give you wisdom to know how to put your chord progressions and your words together. And you're going to hear the Lord even as you begin to worship. Father, I just thank you for each one. Lord, I thank you because you're about to do something great and amazing in this place. And you have not forgotten any, Lord. You have not forgotten any. There's no one here you've forgotten. But Lord, you've got an anointing for their life. You've got a plan for their life. You're about to change things up. I hear the winds of heaven blowing. 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 Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I bless your dear servants in this place this morning. And I declare in Jesus' name, you are about to bring about some of the most amazing things that have ever happened in their lives. Brother, you have not even seen a glimpse of what God's going to do in your life. You are about to enter into a whole new realm. You're going to enter into a whole new realm. And things are going to change. Things are going to change. You are going to touch many lives. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, I bless my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mighty God, oh Father God, I lift up this whole congregation. Father, may they be blessed and encouraged in every part of their life. Father, may they be lifted up and may their faith be encouraged, Lord. May they be encouraged. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I give you all of the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory, for you truly are wonderful, Lord. You are wonderful, Lord. I bless each one in Jesus' name and declare that you are Lord in this place. Amen and amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand and worship. Hallelujah. Let's stand together and just thank the Lord right now. Thank Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We receive, Lord. We receive of you, Lord God. We receive it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we will be people of the Word, Lord God. We will walk forth under the authority of your Word, Lord God, because we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, Lord God. And we thank you for it. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. Hallelujah. Just say, Lord, I receive. I receive all that you have for me. And I go forth under your anointing. And I go forth under your power to fulfill your plan since the beginning of the ages, Lord God, that you have for us, Lord. Amen and amen. Amen.